This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
This episode is brought to you by Visit Williamsburg. In Williamsburg, Virginia, there's never too much of a good thing. Whether you're a foodie, a golfer, a history buff, a shopaholic, an outdoor enthusiast, or a thrill seeker, you'll find what you came for here and more. So ask yourself, what is it you want? Discover Williamsburg and plan your trip at visitwilliamsburg.com.
It feels like we're all being told to go on this diet, take that supplement. Ozempic will give you depression, but you know what'll cure that? Weed. Or you could try to balance your hormones. At Science Versus, we're like,
what the f*** is going on?
Forget the crap online and listen to Science Versus. Just the facts. Oh, and a bunch of stupid jokes.
What is a ghost's favorite fruit? Booberries.
That's Science VS. New season out on Spotify soon.
Al Capone, also known as Scarface, rose to power leading the Chicago outfit during the Prohibition era. He's considered one of the most violent American mob bosses whose brutal legacy reaches beyond the Chicago city limits. Welcome to Killer Knowledge, a Parcast original. I'm Carter Roy, and it's time to learn some true crime history as two players go head-to-head in this 20-question trivia podcast. Every episode, we cover a new topic, like the headline-making Zodiac murders that shocked the nation, violent gangsters like John Gotti who gunned their way to the top, and serial killers like Ted Bundy who craved notoriety. This week, we're headed back to 1920 Chicago to experience one of the city's most notorious mob bosses, Al Capone. Joining me today to test their true crime expertise are Brian from Buffalo, New York, who was a researcher for multiple publications, and Adriana from St. Louis, Missouri, who was a researcher for digital publications. Brian and Adriana, welcome to the show.
Thanks. It's great to be here.
Thank you. Excited to be here.
Brian and Adriana, let's lay out the rules of Killer Knowledge for you and our podcast listeners. There will be 20 multiple choice questions, A, B, and C, broken up into three rounds. Fair warning, the questions will get more difficult as the game plays on. A correct answer earns you the point for that question. An incorrect answer gives the other player the chance to get it right. Brian, if you buzz in first, we'll hear this sound. Adriana, your buzzer sounds like this. And one player will be eliminated in round two, while the other will move on to play for some amazing prizes, including the Parcast Golden Headphones. Make sense to you?
Yes.
Okay, let's play Killer Knowledge. Here we go with round one. This round of questions will take us from a young Capone up until the event that will define him in history as a Chicago mob boss. We begin at the beginning. Alphonse Capone was born on January 17, 1899, to Gabrielle and Teresa Capone. He was the fourth of nine children. Question number one. And remember, buzz in after I finish giving all three answer choices. Where was Al Capone born? A. Newark, New Jersey. B. Providence, Rhode Island. C. Brooklyn, New York. Adriana?
C, Brooklyn.
Brooklyn, New York is the right answer. Yes. Like many Italian immigrant families who came to the United States, Capone's family landed in New York. Adriana 1, Brian 0. Now, unlike most immigrants who came here with nothing in their pockets, Capone's father was able to give his family a decent life with his earnings as a skilled barber. That did not stop a young Al Capone from rebelling. His journey to becoming a violent mob boss started early. Even though he received decent grades, Capone dropped out of school at a very early age. So, for question number two, how old was Al Capone when he dropped out of school? A, 12, B, 14. C. 16. Adriana.
B. 14.
Oh, 14 is the right answer. Al Capone left school in the sixth grade after starting a fist fight with a teacher and never went back. And that's when he started hanging around with street gangs like the South Brooklyn Rippers and 40 Thieves Juniors. Well, they were pretty much kids who vandalized and pulled off petty crimes. Okay, Adriana 2, Brian 0. Now, speaking of those street gangs, there was one that would have a bigger impact on a young Capone more than any other. Question number 3. What gang did Capone eventually join at age 16? A. Five Points Gang. B. Six Stars Gang. C. Deadly Seven Gang. Brian.
A. Five Points Gang.
The Five Points Gang is the right answer. The group was based in Manhattan and had a reputation for violence. And Capone isn't the only infamous mobster who came through the group. Johnny Torrio and Lucky Luciano were also members and would play a defining role in Capone's life. Okay, Brian's on the board. It is Adriana 2, Brian 1. Scarface could arguably be the biggest pop culture reference to Al Capone. It's a pretty self-explanatory nickname, but for question number 4, how did Capone get the scar on his face? A. He was slashed during a fight. B. He was pushed down a flight of stairs. C. He was cut by a ring after being slapped across the face. Adriana.
A. Slashed during a fight.
Correct answer. It was either a knife or a razor blade that cut Al Capone's left cheek during a fight at the Harvard Inn on Coney Island in New York. Capone worked there at the time when he was just 17 or 18 years old. Capone had insulted a female customer, and her brother cut Capone's face in retaliation. Okay, that brings us to Adriana 3, Brian 1. A lot has already happened in Al Capone's life at such a young age. But at 19 years old, he got married. For question number 5, who was Al Capone's wife? A. Mae West. B. Mae Whitman. C. Mae Coughlin. Brian.
A. Mae West.
That is not correct. Adriana, do you want to guess?
C. Mae Coughlin.
That is the correct answer. Yes, Mae Coughlin. Al Capone married Mae in December 1918 and took a short break from mob life, settling down as a bookkeeper. But he quickly returned to work with an old mentor. In 1919, when Capone was just 20 years old, Prohibition went into effect. Well, this caused bootlegging operations to begin, and they were very profitable. So Capone made his way to Chicago to work with an old friend. Question number 6. Who did Capone start working for in Chicago? A. Johnny Torrio. B. Lucky Luciano. C. John Dillinger. Brian.
A. Johnny Torrio.
Yes, Johnny Torrio, from back in the Five Points Gang days, and worked in Chicago under crime boss Big Jim Colosimo. Soon after Capone moved to Chicago, Big Jim was assassinated and Torrio took over. Okay, the score is Adriana 4, Brian 2. Ton of questions to go, so still a very tight game. Al Capone became crime boss of Chicago when Johnny Torrio was wounded in an assassination attempt and retired. So, question number 7 is, how old was Capone when he was handed the leadership? A. 26. B. 36. C. 46. Adriana.
A. 26.
That is the correct answer. You're quick on the buzz. Look like you both had it there. Now, Capone became a crime boss at just 26 years old. He immediately brought the organization to new levels of violence. And we're going to talk more about that in just a second. But first, let's take a look at the score. Adriana 5, she's out to an early lead. Brian 2, again, plenty of game to go. Okay, well, as I mentioned, Capone was a brutal leader of his crime family, or the Chicago outfit, as he called it. So for question number 8, Which weapon is widely associated with Al Capone and his gang? A. A knife. B. The Tommy gun. C. A baseball bat. Brian.
B. The Tommy gun.
The Tommy gun is the correct answer. It is short for the Thompson submachine gun after its inventor. The Tommy gun became infamous during the Prohibition era. It's seen in many mob movies and is very much attached to the image of Al Capone and his men. Okay, with that answer, Brian's up to 3, Adriana 5. Now, when you think Al Capone and Tommy gun, there's one day that sticks out. So let's jump to 1929, when dark history was made. 4 men, allegedly from Capone's gang, impersonated police officers to enter a rival gang's headquarters in Chicago. They lined 7 men against a wall and shot them, execution style. Question number 9. On what holiday did this massacre take place? A. St. Valentine's Day. B. Christmas. C. 4th of July. Adriana.
A. St. Valentine's Day.
Yes, indeed. The St. Valentine's Day Massacre is the correct answer. It all took place inside a garage in Chicago's Lincoln Park neighborhood, which brings the score to Adriana 6, Brian 3. Now, the St. Valentine's Massacre could never legally be linked to Al Capone, who made sure he wasn't anywhere near the crime. Here's question number 10 to end this first round. Where was Capone during the massacre so his hands stayed clean? A. Florida. B. Los Angeles. C. New York. Brian.
A. Florida.
Yes, indeed. Capone was all the way down in Florida, but history has clearly connected him to that day and that crime in Chicago. And with that question, we're at the halfway mark. It is 6-4 in favor of Adriana. There's still plenty of game to play for Brian and Adriana, but we're going to take a quick break. We're not done talking about the St. Valentine's Day Massacre just yet. So when we come back, we'll learn about the motivation behind that crime and what it eventually took to bring down Al Capone. Plus, at the end of round 2, one of our players will be eliminated from the game. Welcome back. You're listening to Killer Knowledge. I'm Carter Roy. O'Brien and Adriana are competing in our trivia podcast to see who's the real true crime expert. This week, we're learning about Al Capone's criminal past in Chicago during the 1920s. We're going to pick back up with Capone's violent history and the St. Valentine's Day Massacre in just a minute, but let's see where we stand in points. It is Adriana 6, Brian 4, and Brian, you lived in Chicago, right?
That's correct, yeah.
Yeah, and did you know anything about the St. Valentine's Day Massacre?
I did, yeah. I used to bike past the site where it happened every day on my way to work.
Oh my God, so you have like a visual image of it.
Absolutely, yeah.
And is that part of like Chicago lore? I mean, people know like this is the place this happened.
Absolutely, yeah. There's a couple bars on the north side too that he and his men used to own that they still have, allegedly still have the trap door behind the bar for them to escape if the police came.
Before we get into round 2, let's get a little rules update. The questions are still multiple choice, A, B, and C, and a correct answer is worth 1 point each. However, there's a twist in this round called the killer question. That question is worth 3 points because there are no multiple choice options. You either know the answer or you don't. And you better hope you know it, because one player will be eliminated at the end of this round. Ready to keep playing?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay, here we go with round 2. We've asked you both some questions about the St. Valentine's Day Massacre, where Capone's men allegedly executed 7 members of a rival gang. Capone's motivation. He was trying to grow his bootlegging business and wanted to eliminate the competition during the so-called Chicago Beer Wars. To start the second round, question number 11. What rival gang was targeted during the Chicago Beer Wars on what is now called the St. Valentine's Day Massacre? A. The North Side Gang. B. The West Side Gang. C. the South Side Gang. Brian.
A, the North Side Gang.
The North Side Gang is the right answer. Members of the North Side Gang were also responsible for assassination attempts in the past on both Capone and Johnny Torrio, on the one which caused his retirement. It's now 6-5 in favor of Adriana. One of the men who tried to kill Capone in the past was in charge when the Valentine's Day massacre took place. Question number 12. Who was the head of the North Side Gang during the Beer Wars? A. Bugsy Siegel. B. Babyface Nelson. C. Bugs Moran. Brian.
C. Bugs Moran.
Bugs Moran is the right answer. He was in charge of the North Side Gang, but escaped the St. Valentine's Day massacre because he saw Capone's gang in law enforcement uniforms, thought it was a police bust, and took off. It's now 6-6, and the killer question is still on the table. Now, like most mob activity, the government was generally paying attention and waiting to pounce. But investigators struggled to bring down Capone because he had many politicians and cops in his pocket. They had to go to special lengths to eventually bring him to justice. That started with Special Agent Elliot Ness. So, for question number 13, what agency was Elliot Ness part of that was investigating Capone in Chicago? A. Bureau of Prohibition. B. Bureau of Firearms. C. Federal Bureau of Investigation. Brian.
A. Bureau of Prohibition.
That is right. He was part of the Bureau of Prohibition. Capone kept his hands clean of most of the violent acts since his men carried those out for him, so the government took aim at his money. Now we're going to stick with the agents that fought to bring down Capone for question number 14. What was the nickname of the group that Elliot Ness formed in 1930 to help bring down Al Capone? A. The Enforcers. B. The Untouchables. C. The Gang of Eight. Adriana.
B. The Untouchables.
B. The Untouchables is correct, which means we are tied at 7-7, going straight into question 15. How did the Untouchables receive their name? A. They avoided being bribed. B. They avoided being arrested. C. They avoided being killed. Adriana.
A. They avoided being bribed.
They avoided being bribed is the correct answer. Elliot Ness created the team of agents known as the Untouchables, who started raids on bootleggers in March 1931. It was that team who were able to weaken Capone by hurting his income from his bootlegging business. And when it comes to crime, always follow the money. Which means it is now Adriana 8, Brian 7. Oh, and that sound means it's time for the killer question. As a reminder, this is not multiple choice. You either know the answer or you don't. And this question is worth 3 points, so buzz in if you know the answer. Here we go. Number 16, the killer question is, what was Al Capone eventually imprisoned for? Brian.
Tax evasion.
That's correct. While Capone had served short-term stints in jail before, it was after a trial in the fall of 1931 when he'd get his longest sentence, 11 years in federal prison, courtesy of the United States Treasury Department. Let's get a points update. Brian, 10. Adriana, 8. Now, Capone was put in Cook County Jail in Chicago while he attempted appeals, all of which were denied. Then, after Cook County Jail and some time at the Atlanta Penitentiary in Georgia, well, that brings us to question number 17, the final question for round 2. What famed prison was Capone eventually sent to in 1934? A. Alcatraz. B. Attica. C. Rikers Island. Adriana.
A. Alcatraz.
He was indeed famously sent to Alcatraz in San Francisco, California. The rationale for transferring him to Alcatraz because of special treatment has been questioned. While there, Capone had become seriously ill with syphilis. After spending 7.5 years behind bars, Capone was finally released from prison in November 1939. His health had deteriorated so greatly by the time he got out at age 41, he immediately entered a hospital in Baltimore for treatment, and that marked the end of Al Capone's mob reign. Now, it has been quite a history lesson on a very brutal mob leader's life, and we have a few more questions left to go, but first, with a score of 10-9 in favor of Brian, unfortunately, that means we have to say goodbye to Adriana. You brought so much killer knowledge to the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
All right, we're going to take a short break. When we come back, the final questions are all about Capone's numbers, money, and body count. As Brian aims to win some amazing prizes, including the coveted Parcast Golden Headphones. Welcome back to Killer Knowledge. I'm Carter Roy. We've been quizzing Brian and Adriana about the life and crimes of Al Capone in Chicago during the 1920s. Now, Adriana was eliminated from the game after scoring 9 points in the first two rounds. Brian scored 10, so only he will be answering the questions in round 3 for a chance to win some amazing prizes. Now, in this final round, points don't matter, but right answers do. Here are the rules. This round consists of 3 multiple-choice questions. For each question, I'll provide 2 answer options, A or B, so you'll have a 50-50 shot. Each correct answer is worth an amazing prize. Get 1 answer right, and you'll get a Spotify premium account free for 1 year. If you get 2 questions right, you win a role in an episode of the Parcast original Unsolved Murders, hosted by me. And if you get all 3 questions right in this round, you'll win the exclusive Parcast Golden Headphones and the chance to come back for one of our best of shows to compete against other Killer Knowledge champions. Are you ready?
I'm ready.
Okay, here we go with round 3. All right, all your questions will be about the numbers, money, and body count. For question number 18, roughly how much money was Al Capone's gang making per year? A, $100 million. B, $150 million.
I'm going to say B, $150 million.
No, it is $100 million, or adjusted to today's value, $1.3 billion, the largest portion from bootlegging. But that number also includes gambling, prostitution, and racketeering profits. Well, that means that you will not be winning the Parcast Golden Headphones, but you can still win a role on Unsolved Murders and a year of Spotify Premium for free. Now, it was well known that Capone had politicians and local law enforcement in his pocket, and that came with a price. For question number 19, how much of his earnings did Al Capone spend on bribes? A, about a third. B, about half.
I'm going to guess B, about half.
No, it's actually A, about a third, or somewhere around $33 million a year, went to influencing politicians and cops, except those untouchables. That means no Parcast Golden Headphones, no role on Unsolved Murders, but you can still win a year of Spotify Premium for free. Well, as you've learned throughout this episode, Capone was a brutal leader who ordered violent acts to be carried out. So for your final question of this episode, question number 20, how many murders is Al Capone alleged to be connected to approximately? A, around 200. B, around 300.
A, around 200.
200 is the correct estimate. But as we know, he was a master at officially keeping his hands clean from crimes, so legally, he was never charged with any deaths. That means that you have won a year of Spotify Premium for free. Congratulations, Brian.
Thank you.
And thank you both Brian and Adriana for being here today. Before we go, some final trivia about Al Capone. After leaving prison in 1939, he was in very poor health and stayed away from the public eye, hiding at his Florida estate on Palm Island near Miami. The man, once known as public enemy number one in Chicago, died due to a stroke and pneumonia in January 1947. Thank you to everyone listening for playing Killer Knowledge with us. We hope you learned a little crime history along the way. Let us know what you thought about today's episode by leaving a review wherever you're listening and by reaching out on Facebook and Instagram at Parcast and Twitter at Parcast Network. You can also listen to more episodes of Killer Knowledge and other Parcast originals on Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts. I'm Carter Roy. Come back next week to hear who will become the next true crime expert. Killer Knowledge was created by Max Cutler and is a Parcast Studios original. It is executive produced by Max Cutler, produced by Kristen Acevedo, Gitu Mehra, and Jonathan Ratliff. Sound designed by Kristen Acevedo. Killer Knowledge stars Carter Roy.